Joy unspeakable, peace that passes all understanding. I mean, this is what we've received this. But yet, all too often in the church, to include myself, right, or anybody else, we get caught up in the daily tasks of life, and we think, oh my gosh, nothing's ever going to get better. And instead of having the power and the presence of God move and remind you of the Word says, we start falling back into looking at how the world does stuff, or we start comparing ourselves to others. Well, look at what they got. I don't have that. And we're talking about material objects. But that's not what makes life so abundant. All men die, but few ever really live. It's not because your neighbor's got the bass boat and the quad runners and all this other stuff. Living life means that you have true freedom. Living life means that you don't have to compare yourself with others because you're happy in your own skin. You're happy in your own circumstance. And you know who you are in Christ Jesus. This is why I say, if you are constantly struggling with addictions in your life that take you out of your mind, I would tell you, get to the place where you know who you are in Jesus. Because when you know who you are in Jesus, you can do things in the right mind instead of doing them out of your mind. I remember going to a wedding recently, and I was on the dance floor, and I was cutting it up. Man, I was even YouTubing dance moves to try and figure out how to do these line dances. And guys, I was out there cold stone sober, right? I didn't need a few beers to loosen me up to get out there because I know who I am in Christ. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm just out there doing it. And you know what? My sisters come up to me and they're like, I didn't know you could dance. And I'm like, yeah, me neither. But hey, you know, we had a line dance come out, man, and I killed it. You know, you ever been in a line dance where you're like trying to follow them and you're like, oh. You know, how are they doing it? People were following me. You know what I mean? Because I was prepared. You know, I was prepared. It was good. But listen, unlock and thrive. I don't want my wife to not thrive in life. I don't want to not thrive in life. I don't want my children to struggle and not thrive in life. And I don't want you to not thrive in life. I want you to thrive in life. I want you to be so excited about living this life. We're singing songs up here, and we're talking about, you know, that, oh, heaven fall or whatever, and I can't remember it. But the bottom line is this is what you need to understand, is that heaven's here right now. Right now, it really is. It really is. For those of you who have missed a few weeks back, today I'm going to be talking more about the kingdom of God, okay? If you're not understanding what the kingdom of God is, go back to a few weeks and look online and go, oh, that's what the kingdom of God is about, okay? Because I'm not going to recap that. But it's important that we get to know these certain principles in life. So, some things that we've been talking about, and we've been talking about this for years, you many, many more years than myself, but we've been talking about seed time and harvest, right? We've been talking about that every seed produces after its own kind. You can't plant corn and get soybeans, right? You can't mate a dog with a cat and get a cat dog, right? Right? But do you see what I'm saying? Humankind to humankind, dogs to dogs, horses to horses, corn to corn, peach trees to peach trees, apple trees to apple trees. Everything produces after its own kind. If you sow forgiveness, you reap forgiveness. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it clear?
Crystal.
All right, good. You guys are good students. You're good students. You're learning well. So, all of these teachings about seed time and harvest, they fall under this umbrella of the kingdom of God. There are principles in the kingdom of God that we need to understand so that we can thrive in this life. Yesterday, I'm shoveling dirt with my brother Jim, trying to get it, and Barb shows up, and she's like, I didn't know you were doing this. We got skid steers. And I'm like, really? I tell you what, I wasn't thriving doing this. But as soon as that skid steer showed up, man, I was, woo-hoo-hoo, yes, because it took about 5 hours worth of work and made it into 10 minutes or something. I mean, it was just amazing. It was cool. But we need to appreciate even the smallest little thing in life. We need that smallest little thing, because, you know, all of those small little awesome good things add up. And all of a sudden now, this treasure box of goodness is filled and overflowing because that good just keeps coming if we're focused on it. But if we're focused on all of this negative stuff all the time, and let me tell you what, saved, unsaved, Christian or not, you're always going to have junk that happens, right? Right, you're always going to have junk that happens. But it's perspective. It's how you look at it. It's how you perceive it. It's how you see it. You ever met that person that is just a master at turning lemons into lemonade? It doesn't matter what it is, man. I don't care if they got their leg cut off. Well, at least I still got another one. You know, but that's good. But that's good, because you can sit there and go, man, I only got one leg. I lost my leg. I lost my leg. I lost my leg. Instead of focusing on, you still have one good one. Does that make any sense? Is that clear? All right. All right. So what I'm getting at is one of the keys in this kingdom of God is quit focusing on the junk. It's always going to be there. But when you start to focus on the good, the right, the just, the noble, anything of a good report, when you focus on that, wow, watch out. Your whole perspective on life changes. Everything that you were looking at before that was negative no longer is a thought in your mind. Why? Because you've now filled your mind with good. Wow. You've heard that saying, garbage in, garbage out. Well, you keep putting garbage in, more garbage comes out. But when you put good in, right? We always go back. I do a lot of times go back to Romans 12:2. You know, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to think differently. And part of thriving in life is thinking in good ways, right? You can look at somebody and you can be like, man, they're just blah, 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 blah. Did you know anybody can pick something bad out on somebody? Do you know that? If you look hard enough, you can pick something bad out about somebody. You can just go in there, oh, man, I can't believe. Look at them, blah, 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 blah. They think they're all polished, but they're just a turd. You know? Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? You can do that with anybody or anything. Or you can choose to look at the other side and be like, oh, my gosh, that person is a creation of God. That person was created by God just like me. That person is so spectacular and so amazing and so fearfully and wonderfully made just like me. Regardless of the little issues or something that they may do, they're still a creation of God. I'm just trying to get us to think right, okay? Right. The Pharisees looked at Jesus and they thought wrong. The teachers of the law of the old covenant thought wrong of Jesus. He wasn't this shining, you know, beautiful looking person that was just in gold robes. No, he was a carpenter's son, a carpenter himself that was hanging out with sinful people. Man, we don't want nothing to do with him, you know, turning their nose up. He's not the Messiah. He can't be the deliverer. And we're reminded of Scripture in 1 Samuel 16 that says, God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So today I'm praying that you would have eyes to see like God. So that you would have eyes to see the good in people even when they mess up. But, and I'm not trying to undo everything I just said with the word but let's come to this area now. My concern is with you. Yes, my concern is with you. I want you to thrive in life because it's good for me? No, because it's good for you, right? Okay, so as I'm talking about the kingdom of God and going over these principles, the first scripture I go to, and it's not on your paper, is Matthew 13:11-13. You don't have to turn to it, I'm just going to read. It says, Jesus answered, knowledge about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, knowledge about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Say me. All of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been given to us, okay? But it has not been given to the crowd. Those who understand these mysteries, say that's you, you'll be given more knowledge. And you'll excel in your understanding of them. However, some people don't understand these mysteries. Even what they understand will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them this way. They see, but they're blind by the God of this world. Okay? They see, but they're blind. They hear, but they don't listen. They don't even try to understand. And so every day that I stand up here on a Sunday morning, part of my prayer is that you would have the eyes to see, the ears to hear what is being said, so that my revelation can become your revelation, so that you can learn how to live a more productive life. My mandate is building strong families. And that means by doing some things that the Word says. I have to go here right now. You may have the right to do something, but is it right? That is a question that we all need to ask ourselves every day. Yeah, I may have the right to do this, but is it right? Does that make sense? I don't have to elaborate on that. I don't have to throw examples out there. That's a question that you need to answer yourself. Okay, I have the right to do this. This isn't going to take me out. This isn't going to take me to hell or anything like that. I'm a saved child of God, and I can do this, but is it right? I have the right, but is it right? I don't know. Only you can answer that. So, Matthew 16 takes us into pretty much a meat and potatoes of where I'm going to be at today. This is verses 13 through 19. And this is Peter talking to Jesus and the other disciples as well. And it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Verse 14, well, they replied, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, just a prophet. And others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. So all these people are looking at Jesus. He's got something about him. He's doing things. He's saying things. But they're not seeing him as the deliverer, as the Messiah. They're, hey, just another prophet. That's what Muslims say. Jesus was just another prophet, okay? The Quran is filled with Jesus, the name Jesus. But they're just looking at him as just another prophet. And it goes on. Then Jesus asked them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. This was a supernatural thing. God revealed this to Peter. Okay? He revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, verse 18, now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now, I just want to bring something there real quick. Jesus was not and is not building the church on the person Peter. Jesus is building and has built the church on the revelation of Peter. So the church is built on what? Knowing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the deliverer, not Peter the man, that had the revelation. No, the revelation that God gave Peter is what this church is built on. That Jesus saves, okay? I just want to point that out. Peter's used, yes, but it's not him that the church is built on. It's the revelation that he had. I just want that to be clear. So we move into some meat and potatoes, verse 19. And I will give you the keys of, if you're there, everybody underline the word of. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And I stop there. Now, first things first. Jesus didn't say, based on that revelation of Peter, that he's the Messiah, Jesus didn't say that I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Because when you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. So follow me. When you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, when you're in the kingdom of heaven, there's a whole lot of doors. There's doors everywhere. There's doors of healing. There's doors of miracles. There's doors of prosperity. There's doors of breakthrough. There's doors of restoration. There's doors of revelation. There's all kinds of doors in heaven. So you're saved, you enter, and now you get the keys of heaven. Who's ever borrowed keys from somebody? Anybody ever just say, hey, can I have your keys to go unlock something? What is the first thing the person who's giving you the keys, what is the first thing they say? There you are. Stephanie said it, my wife. She goes, so if she like was to borrow my keys, I would be like, okay, well, it's this one right here. I would give her instruction on what key to use to go unlock whatever she's unlocking. Are you with me? So what God has done in his word is we've entered the kingdom. He's given us the keys of the kingdom, and in his word, he's telling us how to use these keys. He's now telling you, this is the key that you use to unlock forgiveness. This is the key that you use to unlock salvation of your family members. This is the key that you use to unlock blessings that pour out from heaven, favor of God, whatever it may be. But what happens, the reason why there's so many brothers and sisters in the church that are walking around going, oh, man, another tragedy, another issue, another problem over and over. The reason why is because they're standing in the kingdom with a handful of keys, and they're experimenting the entire time trying to figure out, well, does this one work this one? No. Well, does this one work this one? No. And so you're trying to learn different ways to pray. Well, maybe I'm praying wrong. Listen, if you're saved, talk to God, period. That's prayer, okay? Worship God. That's prayer in your actions, man. It's not all based on ABCs of how you pray, man. It's speak to your God. But in the Word, he's revealed that this key right here is the one that I need to use. It's in the Word. The Pharisees were very studied. The Pharisees, they knew the Word inside and out. Not New Testament, it wasn't written, but they knew the Old Testament. And they were using this Word, and it wasn't helping them at all. You can read the Word, know it. You can understand, comprehend what it says, but the wisdom comes in when you apply. When God says in his Word that this key is the one that unlocks forgiveness in your life, if you don't use this key to unlock forgiveness in your life, you will have unforgiveness in your life, period. Let me keep going here. Back to the Word in verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatever you forbid. Okay, this word forbid in other translations is the word bind. But key, the word keys, literally means key to use to unlock or lock. So the word forbid or bind, you can interchange the word lock. So whatever you lock up on earth will be locked in heaven. The other word is permit. Permit is loose or unlock. Whatever you permit on earth, loose on earth, or unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven. And it flows. These are keys, guys, to understanding how to live a better life. So we have a lock, and it's wide open. It's unlocked, right? But when we lock it up, I can use all the strength in the world. I can try and get this thing open. And it's not going to open unless you use the right key. And so I can experiment my life by going, well, this key, nope, that one doesn't work. God, where are you? God, why aren't you listening to me? God, why haven't you shown up? And God's like, I'm here. I'm right here, man. What are you doing? You're using the wrong key. But no, really. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. Dude, it don't fit. Stop trying to use the wrong key to unlock something. And so then you go on. And I've heard it said that most people go to heaven, most people die in the kingdom without unlocking any of the doors. You know what I mean? I mean, most people are like, they just spend their whole life striving to try and figure out what key it is. And God said it's right here, and I'm going to lay some keys out for you, okay, so that you have something that you can find, just a little bit of breakthrough right now. Maybe you've got it. Maybe you need to be reminded of it. And maybe you don't have it, and this will be life-changing for you. Amen? So we go through life, and we read the Word, and when we find the Word that pertains, and we use the wisdom of God, and we apply it, all of a sudden, it unlocks. Woo! You're set free. You don't have any bondages on you. Sometimes we get so used to the bondage and burdens on us, we're afraid to get rid of them because we've just become so accustomed to them. Do you remember a few weeks back when I said, every seed has life in it? Every seed has life in it. If it's not growing, it's the environment that it's in. If you, and this is only a question you can answer, if you're not growing, if things aren't changing in your life, you're in the wrong environment. Let me put it a different way. If you're not growing or changing in life, you're using the wrong key. You've got to unlock certain things. So we go on. So kingdom is the realm where God is. Keys, I told you, literally means key. I want to read this real quick, though. In Luke 11:52. I was talking about the Pharisees. It says, how horrible will it be for you experts in Moses' teaching? Other scriptures say lawyers or Pharisees, right? How horrible will it be for you, the experts who teach Moses' teachings? You've taken away the key that unlocks knowledge. I'm not saying this, guys. The Word of God is saying this. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've taken away the key that unlocks knowledge. You haven't gained entrance into the knowledge yourselves. And you've kept out those who wanted to enter. The key that unlocks our living in life is important. So, if you have forgiveness, here's the key, guys. If you have forgiveness locked up on earth, not forgiveness for everybody. I'm talking about if there's one person in your life, to include yourself, that you don't forgive, it's locked up in heaven. You're not going to have a breakthrough in this area of forgiveness if you're holding bitterness to just one. Amen. Well, I've forgiven everybody, but I can't forgive that person. Fine, you have the right to do that, but is it right? If you want breakthrough, if you want absolute breakthrough in your life, forgive everyone. Forgive them. It's not for their benefit. It's for your benefit. Amen. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Forgive. Oh. The model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We know that, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a two-way street. Do you see that? When you unlock forgiveness, woo, forgiveness is unlocked in heaven. And now you move and live your life in forgiveness. Unforgiveness is burden, bitterness, hatred, anger. There's nothing good that comes with unforgiveness. That is why it is so important. Matter of fact, in John 20, 23, I think it is. Somewhere in there. I'll tell you. John 20, 23. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Why? Because if you're not forgiving, you've locked it up. But if you forgive them, it is forgiven. Do you see? That's the word. It's a key to how we live life. It's very, very important. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible multiple places. Matter of fact, everything in the Bible is important. We can't pick and choose. But the wisdom of God is applying these things. You have the right to not forgive, but is it right? Do you want to live a better life? You need to forgive. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you want to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, so be it. Go for it. But you're going to have issues. I guarantee you. Why? Because God's not a liar. God's not a liar. And this is His word. So who is it on? You. God's given you the keys to this. If you don't want to do it, it's not on Him. God, where are you? Why aren't you? It's not His fault. It's not His issue. It's our issue to work through. You need to hear. You need to hear it. Not have it go over your head. If you have happiness locked up, you're going to have unhappiness loosed or unlocked in your life. You've got to unlock happiness. You've got to unlock joy. If you don't have joy, if joy is locked up in your life, then you're going to have the other result to it. The other result to it is sorrow. If all you feel is sorrow, it's because you haven't transformed your mind and how you think. God gives us joy unspeakable. Well, I just don't feel that joy. Well, what are you thinking on? What are you meditating on? What is your perspective? I don't care what you're going through. God is good all the time. I need you to understand what I'm saying. My heart does care what you're going through. But whatever you're going through, good or bad, God is good all the time. And when you get that understanding and you apply it to your life, I don't know why this is happening, Lord, but I know you're good. I don't know why this is happening, Lord, but I know you're good. And if you keep focusing on how good God is instead of, I don't know why this is happening, Lord, where are you? Lord, I can't believe you're doing this to me. Why don't you look at the environment that you're in? Maybe you're in the wrong environment. Maybe you need to step out of the environment you're in so you can be fruitful and multiply. Oh, this is the reality of life, guys. If you have hope locked up in your life, then the only thing you have going on in your life is hopelessness. If you're feeling hopeless, that's because you've locked up hope. But see, I serve a God of more than enough, right? I serve a God that will never leave me nor forsake me. I serve a God that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He's right here. I serve a God that loves me so much He gave His Son to die for me. This is a good, awesome, amazing, supernatural, abundant God. Amen. But if you're focusing on all the junk, all you have loosed in your life, unlocked in your life, is hopelessness. And that's what flows. But when you start to think on the right things and the good things, you lock up that hopelessness and you unlock hope. And now, when you're walking through life happy, joyful, in forgiveness, and hopeful, wow, that is a different person. That's a new creation. That is somebody who has riches that the world can never give. The world can't give you that. In the world, you try to buy your happiness. I'm not happy. I'm going to go get a new puppy. Marriages, you can always tell. Now, somebody's probably going to say something, but you can always tell a marriage that's struggling because they continually buy new dogs. Or they have more babies. Listen to what I'm saying. It goes without fail. I'm not talking about just planning to have a baby because you want. But I see it all the time. They were having problems. Next thing you know, they got a new puppy. Why? Because they're trying to bring some other commonality into their marriage so that they can have something to hold on to. But you see, if you're living life joyful and happy and in the process of forgiveness, oh my gosh, man, you don't need a new puppy to fulfill your life. I'm not saying don't have dogs. I love dogs. I'll die for my dog. But I don't know where that came from. I love my boy. He's a good boy. But is it clear? Make any sense whatsoever? If you have servanthood locked up, then all you have going on is self-serving. And a self-serving attitude is not a kingdom mindset. It is not a kingdom attitude. If it's all about you and what you can get versus what you can do for others, you have the wrong mindset. It's like, how come nobody's ever there to help me out? Well, are you there to help them out? You've got it locked up. But when you unlock this servant attitude, when somebody needs something, if you're able to do it, you're there for them to help out. That's why I love One Week, One Street and what you guys are doing as youth pastors with the youth, because you're building a servant's heart. You're building kingdom dynamics, kingdom principles in our young people. Why? Because our young people are the next generation. Somebody's got to build it in them, right? Parents. But if you don't have that heart to want to help and serve others, it dies off and you're just self-serving and self-seeking versus anything else. Here's a big one. Giving. If you have the heart to give locked up, then all that you have flowing freely around you is greed. People, now, God reigns on the just and the unjust. People who want financial breakthrough, they give. Even those who aren't Christians, they're called philanthropists. They give some millions and millions of dollars away because they understand the simple principle of the reaping and sowing or the locking and unlocking. Are you following me? If you're in lack, try giving. I'm serious. I've never met anybody in my life who says, I give so much I can't make it. I've never met anybody. This isn't just about trusting God that He'll supply your needs. It isn't just about faith. It is a key in the kingdom of God. It's important. Anytime I'm in worry, if you will, my wife, who's famous for her one-liners, I'm like, man, so I wonder how this is going to happen. Where's your faith? If it's God's of it, it's going to happen. Oh, yep, thank you for the reminder. Boom, and it's all good. But I've learned to do some things in life that I don't have to second guess. It just happens. Forgiveness, I know that has to happen in my life. Otherwise, I'm bitter and angry. I know it has to happen. There isn't anybody in my life right now that I don't forgive, because I know it's healthy for me and my family to forgive. I've got that key. I have figured that key out, so I don't have to live in this bitterness of life. Amen. All right? God gives joy unspeakable. Sometimes I'm not really feeling that joy, but because I surround myself with wise counsel, and because I know that God is good all the time, I know how to preach myself happy. I know how to get in and find the right words and different things like that. They say, you know what? Yes, that is an absolute. And when something drastic happens, it's all of a sudden, my gosh, I can't believe I have so much joy and freedom in my life right now. Because I know there's a key to it. And the thing is I seek that key out. I don't turn from God and say, God, where are you? And why didn't you fix this for me? Because I know that there's a seed time and a harvest. And that harvest might not be right now, but it's coming. And that's where my hope lies. I have the understanding. I have that key. I'm not losing hope. I have that key in every circumstance. Every circumstance that goes on, I have hope because I know who my God is. Live or die, I know where I'm going. On earth, I'm in the kingdom of heaven. When I die, I'm in heaven. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't take me out of it. I'm already here. I've got the key. I didn't even need a key to get in. I just accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm in the kingdom. Now I'm trying to use these keys to open up some other things. Right? Clear? I'm going to close in the... Well, let me read two more scriptures. And we'll close this here. John 10:10. I wrote this down, so it must be important. John 10:10. Speaking to me somehow. I'm like, I can't find it, and that's because I was in John 11. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus' purpose, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Do you think for 1 minute that God wants you to continuously live in misery? Answer me. No. We become our own worst enemies, ladies and gentlemen, by our lack of applying the wisdom of God, by perceiving things always in the negative, not understanding what the Word says. We become our own worst enemy. God is right here, right now. God's in you with the Holy Spirit. It's so important. Jesus came. My purpose, Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I mean, if you don't like that, I don't know what else to say. His purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Period. Matter of fact, there is a period right after that in my Bible. Period. Do you have a rich and satisfying life? Do you have a rich and satisfying life? Do you? Maybe you're not feeling it. But this is what the exciting part is. If you're not feeling it, there's keys. You've got them. He gave you the keys of the kingdom. So what do I do with them now? Okay, I am not going to experiment on which one works. I have the key to forgiveness. I got to unlock it. I need to forgive. Revelations, close, 1:18. Is that the back of the Bible, right? Revelations 1:18. Jesus speaking. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Do you see, he started that, this is very important. I died, but I'm alive. You see, he would not be able to hold the key to death in the grave if he was still dead. Do you hear what I'm saying? He wouldn't be able to hold that key to death in the grave. So what did Jesus do? Jesus has the key to it and he's locked it up. He's locked up death in the grave for us. And he has loosed everlasting life. Is that not awesome? Yeah. For his people, for his children. I like that. I don't know what else to say. Let's close in prayer. Father God. Let's close in prayer, man. Stand to your feet. We serve an amazing God. He's amazing. He is so precious and so awesome and so giving and so spectacular. He's the all in all, right? He is just. God, we are so grateful for you. Lord, I thank you that you have given us lessons. Your word says that you chastise those whom you love. Father, I thank you that you're a good father. Father, you don't force obedience. You give us the opportunity to learn. I thank you, God, that you have given us your word to learn right. Father, I pray that if there is someone that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would get out of themselves, quit trying to fight life on their own, quit trying to figure out how to do things, but come to the one who gives life, satisfying life, rich and abundant life. And that's you, Jesus. Father, if anybody doesn't know you, I pray that they would just humble themselves. Say, Father, I love you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Create in me a new spirit. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and I make him Lord and Savior of my life. And you, God, are faithful to do so. Father, I thank you that you have your hand of glory and blessing upon everyone that is here. I thank you that our families that aren't here, Father, you love them just as much. You're covering them. Father, bless my brothers and sisters. Magnify your presence in their lives. Use them, Father God, to advance your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's glorious name. Amen. God bless you.